Well, let's continue with our time in men's fraternity. And this is a session entitled The First Step to Authentic Manhood, Looking Back. And to be what we need to be as men, we need to be able to look back. So getting up close and personal, we need to understand that everybody has a story. And I want to just focus our attention, first of all, on the scripture in Philippians chapter 1. And he says in verse 3, he says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And so to look back is an important part of being a man and to own our past. Because if we come to an understanding of our past, we can have an understanding of what God has done and what he will do. And so that affects our present and our future. He can take any story and make it amazing because of the person of Christ. But first of all, to start off up close and personal, we need to have an understanding that everybody has a story. And at times, as men, we feel like our story, we're the only one that has experienced what we've experienced. So it's always good to talk about that. So I want to share my story a little bit with you and maybe give you an understanding that you could do this someday with your story, because God redeems us because of what Christ did. But my story is a story that goes back to even before I was born. My mom and dad met in a nightclub. My dad sang at this nightclub called The Burgundy, and my mother had opportunity to somehow meet him. I'm not sure how they crossed paths, but both of them had been married previously, and they had gotten divorces from their previous spouses, and then they came together and get married back in the 50s. They had my oldest brother, Russell, and then Randy, and then 5 years later, I was born, and then 2 years after that, my sister, Diana, was born. And between Randy and I, my mom received Christ. She had opportunity to see Billy Graham on TV. My mom had grown up in Canada. She was a Canadian citizen. She didn't become an American citizen until recently, and raised in a home where everything was proper and right. And she comes together with this man named Bill, who was raised by an alcoholic father. So bad was his growing up years that he was sometimes in an orphanage. And so I got bits and pieces of hearing my father's life and my mother's life, and how they got together is amazing. But whatever the case, they come together, they don't know the Lord, and they're just doing life. But my mom is searching for something. She's searching for what ultimately she believes Christ offered. And she found that, like I said, she was watching a Billy Graham thing on TV and wanted that. And I believe at some point received Christ. And then and I believe this is the work of God, a lady named Gertrude Lambert would walk up and down the street, knocking on doors and sharing the gospel with people, the gospel of how to become a believer in Christ. She was from Holland, Michigan, so she made her way like a missionary into the streets of Chicago and would knock on these doors. And my mom was basically discipled by this woman. And I remember when Miss Lambert would come to our house, it was always a great thing, because she just had such a love for the Lord. And remember her smelling like mothballs, but she was so sweet and had a bun in her hair, and she would just be that old lady that would show up exactly when my mom needed her, and it was good. And so my mom was discipled by her. She did get to church. So this happened, this instance where my mom became a Christian between Randy's birth and my birth. And my mom said she dedicated me to the Lord. My name was Mark, is Mark. And so she wanted a Bible name for me. And so that's why I was named Mark. And so the moments that shaped my life, I look back on getting saved at the age of 6, being baptized at the age of 8. Those were huge impacts on my life. The church was something that was very special to me, growing up in the church and being in a youth group and having people that cared about me, not just in my immediate family, but in my church family. And so let me talk about some of the good moments. I like the fact that Christ was important to us. We did have a good family life. We would go on vacations. Not a lot of them, but it was something that we could have during the summertime up in Wisconsin. Thanksgiving and Christmas were things that I look back on as good things in my early years of my life. Noble moments. I felt very loved by my parents. Very safe with my mom and dad. There were times that as I got older, I started to see that there was something wrong with my parents and in their relationship. Some of the missed moments is having deep conversations with my father. My mother had no problem having deep conversations and bringing up the Lord. And when I think of their disciplining me and things along that line, my dad, because he grew up in a home where he had an alcoholic father who beat him, my dad responded not the same. He actually went the other direction. He didn't discipline us. I saw him, or I remember him once spanking me, but my mom made up for it, trust me. But I look back on that, and I had a level of disrespect for my father that I shouldn't have had. I regret that. But I feared my mother. And so my dad just didn't know how to communicate like we do today, where we tell our kids we love them, tell our grandkids we love them. That just wasn't in my dad's DNA, but I knew my dad loved me. But he wouldn't have deep conversations when it came to like having a talk to explain what it means to grow up to be a man, what it means, what's sex about, things like that. I didn't learn that from my father. That's the kind of thing that I would have learned from my peers. The idea of sexual issues and things like that just wasn't talked about. I mean, we'd watch things on TV. My dad's idea of a sex talk would probably be watching Three's Company together and looking at Suzanne Summers and going, you know, Chrissy's kind of cute. But never going deep in the area of those kind of things. So had to learn those things in my mind from my peers and from doing life with my friends, which isn't the best way to do that. I look back on my conversations with my father, probably tied around watching TV together or going to a movie together. That was that, and I look back at this as a great thing, an enjoyable thing. I miss that stuff with my dad, but that's not the ideal way to communicate. And And then he wasn't somebody that would ever open up the Bible with us and teach us. He just wasn't. In fact, his relationship with God, I don't even know where to start with that. That my mom was always hoping that they would, that he would become the leader in the home, and it just wasn't going to be. He claimed to be a believer. He says that he met with our pastor and prayed the prayer, but I never really saw a difference in my dad's life of priority of God. God was a good luck charm. It just wasn't a thing where he was going to be a leader in that issue. But my dad worked hard. One of the values that I see in my father is he's a hard worker. 50 years of working in a machine shop and bringing home money so that we could eat. And so he did take care of us, but he was of that mindset of, I do this, and that's what a dad does. And he did better than his father, so I can't knock him for that. Hurtful moments. I think one of the most hurtful moments was the fact that as the years would go by, the mother that I had, mother that I have, who was the spiritual impetus in our home, the spiritual leader, ultimately then fell away. Her and my dad started to have marital problems. I started to see this as I was a middle schooler, and I remember the fact that there just was a distancing between both of them. And ultimately, my dad moves us out from Chicago to the suburbs in an attempt, I think, to, he's thinking that if I give my wife a better house, that will be the thing, instead of investing in relationship. But he just didn't have the tools. And at those days, the church really didn't come alongside marriages and help them. It was, you go to church, you be a nice person. And when people were struggling in different areas to get answers for those things, just wasn't happening. And so as a result, my mom and dad, their relationship really, really suffered. And so there was ultimately a time where I'm a senior in high school and my mother leaves and we don't know where she's at. And she had run off with another man. And she's gone for a year. And so when I think about hurtful moments, that was hurtful. And what was really shocking about that was the person who was the spiritual leader, the one that had a close relationship with God, she's the one that goes away. The one who doesn't walk with God, the one who doesn't have a spiritual depth to him, he sticks around. And he is faithful to work hard and try to keep his family together. And it's just it's a dichotomy that is hard as a young person trying to figure that out, as a young man who loves God, who's trying to figure out God and sees this happen, and it just doesn't make sense. But it's proof to me that people are fragile. And you think that things are supposed to be a certain way, and it isn't exactly the way that it should be. And ultimately, God's the one that you have to trust. You can't put your faith in people, because you'll be let down. And even in our own lives, we will let ourselves down. We need to realize our hope and our strength needs to be in God. He's the one that's faithful to finish things. Defining moments, I think for me, one of them was deciding to follow Christ no matter what. As a freshman in high school, I believed that God was calling me into the ministry, and ultimately I end up as a pastor. And hasn't been an easy road, but it's been a good road, and God has been faithful. When it comes to leaving home, how did that work for me? I had started distancing myself early because of what was happening in my family. I had a very dear family in our church in Chicago that invested in me, and when my family structure broke down, I was able to stay at their home on weekends. Their brothers became my brothers in many ways. It's like my second mom is Mrs. Kuykendall, is my second mom. And it just gave me a family structure that I thank the Lord for. And that's where the church came in, kind of in an informal way. to love me and be exactly what was what I was needed. But what was happening for me is leaving home, friends became priority to me over family, because my friends, I felt like, oh, my friends will never let me down. Well, that can be hurtful too when your friends do let you down. But anyway, so leaving home for me wasn't hard because I was already willing to take that step to get away from home. And what was really fantastic is the fact that I married somebody who has a deep family structure. And so when I married Kim, her family, very tight unit. And so I saw the value and grew to love the idea of family again. So not that I didn't like family, but going through those painful things made me distance myself from the idea of family. And I'm just grateful that God gave me a wife that gave me that love for family in a great way. Now, I want to, you know, as you think about observations and looking back, and I know I gave you a really quick dynamic there of what went on with my family. My point in it was, and there's so many more intricacies when it comes to this, my point on this is that all of us have this as men. All of us have these stories that where things are hurtful. I didn't share with you all the painful things that have happened. You don't need to hear them. My mother ultimately came back, and she didn't. She tried to make a go of it with my dad, but that didn't work out, and so she got a divorce, and she married the guy that she ran off with. And I can stay frustrated with that or move on. And my dad ultimately died in 1990, and missed out on a lot of things. And it's just how life is and how death is and how the reality of that stuff. My mom is still alive. I love her. I thank the Lord for her. She came back to the Lord. But it's just all of these things as God is constantly redeeming and doing works in all of our lives. And the Bible is packed with this stuff. My point on it is we all have a story. And you as a man, you carry stuff, deep wounds. We don't stay stuck. Even Paul says in Philippians, forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward. Well, I forget about them because I don't want to stay stuck. I realize they happened, but I don't dwell on it and keep blaming these bad things. This is the reason why I do what I do. No, it's a reason, but it's not an excuse for bad behavior. But if I own what happened to me and by me and all those things, and I own them, now I can move on to other stuff that needs to be done. Because Christ has, he says, about talking about different sins, such were some of you, but you've been washed, you've been sanctified. And so I'm grateful that my label is not tied to my sin, but it's tied to what God has done. Yeah, this happened to me in the past. It's a reality. I'm going to say that this happened, but I'm not going to stay stuck. So when I look back, A, my story is not unique. As a man, I am not alone. B, when a boy fails to connect with his dad, demons of one kind or another often fill the void. C, many men have yet to reckon with their past or close out the unfailed business that still lives there. D, until a man unpacks his past and deals with the themes and pain that reside there, he can never be an authentic man. E, you cannot become a real man without help. There is no such thing as a self-made man. And F, for better or worse, we are all significantly shaped by the kind of family life we experienced. So think about that. You're not, it's not unique. You're not alone. You need when you fail to connect with your dad, demons often fill the void. Many men yet to reckon with their past or close out that unfinished business. We need to unpack our past. We need to deal with the themes and pain. And I cannot become a real man without help. There's no such thing as a self-made man. Anybody that acts like that doesn't realize the people that have been around them to help them. And for better or for worse, we're significantly shaped by the kind of family life we experience. So let me ask some questions for you to ponder. One, what personal assets did you leave home with because of your family life? Two, what major themes for your life did you leave home with? How have those themes shaped your life, both positively and negatively? And three, if you could change one thing about your upbringing, what would it be? So think about that. But be ready to move ahead. We look back with a hope of looking to the future.